Almighty God, we thank you for this service. We bless your name because you've gathered us together for a great purpose. And we pray that your purpose of this service will be fulfilled in every life today in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that you speak your word to every heart, and your word will enrich every soul in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, the light of the gospel, and the light of the knowledge of truth, and the light of the Spirit will abide in every one of our souls in Jesus' name. How sad it will be, how painful it will be when we meet the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the light shall go out of our souls. We pray, Lord, that when we meet you, it will be a time of joy. It will be a time of reward. And the light will still abide in every one of our souls in Jesus' name. Speak your word to every heart today. Strengthen us by your word. Empower your people by your word. And let the truth strengthen every believer. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.
We're looking at 1 Samuel. And we're looking at chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I'm reading here from verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And we're reading from verse 10. It's talking about David. And he's reminding us that we need to keep the light in our soul every time. And keep the faith in our hearts. And keep the word of God in our hearts. So that any situation we find ourselves, any kind of circumstance we may find ourselves, our soul will retain the conviction of the word, the power of the word, and the faith we need to have every time. You know, we get saved by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then after we are saved, we continue in the faith, because it's that same faith that saves us, the grace by faith that saves us, that also sustains us in the kingdom, empowers us for the kingdom, and makes us stable and solid and steadfast in the things of the Lord. But if the faith decreases, or we go out of the faith, then we're going to find that in life, as circumstances come, as situations come, we're not able to stand. But thank God, we will stand. And it is by the faith that we keep, that keeps us a lifetime faith. And we need to have the companionship of that faith, lifetime faith, indispensable in our lives, essential in our lives, and it should be constant every time. That's why we're looking at the message today, the indispensable companion of lifetime faith. Indispensable companion of lifetime faith. 1 Samuel chapter 21, we're reading from verse 10. It says in verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And then in verse 12 it says, and David laid up these words in his heart, and he was so afraid, terribly afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. You'll find here, instead of faith, it was fear that operated in the life, in the heart, in the mind, in the soul of David. You must remember David, when we first met him, after the anointing by Samuel. We meet him in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And 1 Samuel chapter 17, you find what happened. The man had been living by the power of the Lord. He had been living in the confidence of the Lord. He had been living by faith. And because of faith, he had already, even before we met him, he's already done some exploits and some great, great things. Manifestation of the operation, performance of faith in his life. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. That is, because of Goliath, thy servant, will go and fight with this Philistine. You can see that was the very height of it, trusting God and confidence in God that empowered him, that emboldened him, that endued him with such conviction that even though the whole of the nation of Israel, they were trembling in their shoes or in their boots because of Goliath. And he said, let no man's heart fail or faint because of him. He said, I, David, your servant, will go out and fight against him, and was sure he was going to win. When faith is alive in your heart, when confidence in God is alive in your heart, you will dare anything for the glory of God. You'll have conviction, and the conviction will produce confidence, and the confidence will produce courage. And then when you have all those things together in your heart, looking unto God, the one that cannot fail and the one who has called you, it will make you a conqueror. And a conqueror you will be in Jesus' name. Look at verse 39 of that same chapter 17 and see what actually happened and the testimony that he gave. And then it says, and David guarded him with his sword. He guarded him his sword. And then it says about upon his armor, and I say to go, for he had not put it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You remember the story? And when eventually Saul said, all right, you can go, and the Lord be with you, he gave him his armor and he gave him his sword. And then he tried that. And then he said, I've not tried this before. I'm going to face the man, the enemy of the nation. I'm going to face this Goliath, the enemy of the people of God. I'm going to face him without a sword. I'm telling you that when you have faith in God, and that confidence is rising, and it has risen to the highest level, and you know that the enemy is there, and you're not going in your strength. You're going in the strength of the Lord, in the power of the Spirit. Sword or no sword, it will not matter at all. You don't have to go here and go there and then tell whatever it is, have truth or lie or deception to get a sword. You will know that the righteous man is as bold as a lion. And in any situation, in every circumstance, even if you don't have a sword, you're going to overcome. And I see overcomers there today. You'll overcome in Jesus' name. It tells us in that same chapter 17, and I'm reading here from verse 45. Chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword. I don't need that. Maybe you need that. He says, you are coming, you are Goliath, and you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee. I come to thee. Tell me there. In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He said, that's enough. I come in the name. And you must always remember that name. The name of Jesus. The name that gives us victory. And the name that makes us triumph. And that name is there today. And is still as powerful as ever. You'll overcome in Jesus' name. Verse 47 tells us, in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. At that time, David was actually operating in faith. And that's the lesson we're learning, that we need to have this companionship of faith every time and make faith a lifetime companion, because it is that's essential in your life. You may have a sword, you may not have a sword. Talking about David, you may have money, you may not have money. You may have supporters, you may not have supporters. You may have opposition, you may not have opposition. You may have a persecutor, you may not have a persecutor. Whatever is happening, at any time, all you need is faith. If you have faith, you're going to overcome. Faith in God is an indispensable companion. And that this trust in God must be exercised. Confidence in God must be exercised. Faith in God must be exercised every day as well as in every situation. We must completely, totally maintain that faith in God throughout our lifetime. The fear of man, the fear of a Goliath, the fear of a Philistine, the fear of a Saul, and the fear of any situation, the fear of a director, and the fear of a manager, and the fear of a neighbor will lead to faithlessness. It will even lead to foolishness. It will lead to a fall. You see, David, he was a man after God's heart, a saved man, a separated man, a righteous man, a beloved man, an upright man, a prayerful man, a trusting man, and also a celebrated man. But all the same, you find in the passage we're looking at today that he failed miserably. And he did something he shouldn't have done. And it's sometimes you cannot reconcile this action with this lifestyle, or this utterance with this personality. But you know, anything can happen to anyone when you live up that platform of faith, when you live up that confidence in God, when you live up that trust in God. And what he did, you know, there are many people, as they read the scriptures, they excuse the sin of some personalities. No, the Bible doesn't do that. In fact, we should thank God that the Bible is the Bible. Because if it's some other books, they will kind of screen out and take out all these things that we're looking at about David. They say, you know, this man is a man after God's heart. And if you're going to write a biography concerning him, the history of that man, take away this and take away this and take away that, which tells us that the Bible is inspired of God. Because it doesn't try to shield, it does not try to kind of minimize the things that great people, honored people, celebrated people in the Bible, what they did. And what David did today is failure. It's recorded for us as a warning. The sin of respected personalities is not to be excused. It's not to say, okay, that man is a great man, that man is a favored man, that man is a celebrated man, so let's overlook that. Let's stop that. In fact, in some churches, they will not even study this chapter of the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 21, they'll cleverly go away from that chapter. They say, we don't want to talk about that. You know why? Because they're trying to shield David. But the Bible doesn't shield David, and we don't shield anybody or anything, whether in Bible days or even today. We keep to the scriptures, we don't take away, and we don't add. We don't subtract, and we don't add to the word. And the sin of these great personalities must not be an excuse for you, an excuse for me, an excuse for anybody. So and so did that. I was a favored man of God, a celebrated man of God, a honored man of God, or a celebrated woman of God. Honored woman of God. And because she's always been honored, so whatever happens, we excuse. No, we don't. We look at the Bible and we say the word of God is still the word of God. The weakness of respected leaders should not be used as a standard for our lives. And the weakness of any man or any woman should not be used as if that is above the word of God. As if the Lord will not deal with that, that man is respected. The Lord will not handle that, that woman is celebrated. And let's look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 2. In Amos chapter 3 verse 2 it says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. That's something. That's wonderful. You only have I known. You Israelites, you children of Jacob, you descendants of Abraham, you only have I known of all the descendants, the families of the earth. Look at what follows. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. You only have I known. I favor you. You are my favorite. You are my son. I bought you. I redeemed you. I called you out of Egypt. And this is a special favor for you, a special love I bestowed upon you. Does that mean I'm going to gloss over your sin? Going to gloss over your failure? Going to gloss over your foolishness? No, not at all. It says, therefore, because of that, because of the favor, because of the celebration, because of the honor, and because of the high place I've placed you, therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. And we're coming to Psalm 56. Actually, David wrote many of the Psalms. And in one of the Psalms, look at what he said in Psalm 56. I'm reading from verse 1. Psalm 56, we're looking at verse 1. It says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies will daily swallow me up. Anywhere, enemies, you know you have challenges. If you know you have challenges, pray before those challenges come to a high point. And here David said, my enemies will daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Look at this. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I think David forgot this at that time. What time I'm afraid. What time the sin is almost swallowing me up. As I said in verses 1 and 2, there's something I can do. And there's one thing I'm going to do to keep the light in my soul. And to keep the conviction in my heart. And to keep the power in my life. And to keep the overcoming authority and same power in my behavior. Whatever time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Can you say that? I will not fear. Tell me out aloud, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Think about it. Think about it. When people do things they shouldn't do, why? They are afraid what man will do unto them. In the office, when you know this is the way we should go, then we go another way. You know why? We're afraid what man will do unto us. In our families, husband and wife and children, and when you know there's any deception, any fear, we're afraid what my husband will say about that, what my wife will say about that, and the children, what my parents will say about that. We're afraid because we're thinking what man will do unto us. And it makes us to do things we know we shouldn't do, and say things we shouldn't say, and go places we shouldn't go, and give our hand, our heart, our life to things we shouldn't do. It says whenever I'm afraid, and whenever there's a fear of man that comes against me, I'm going to do something. I'm going to seek the face of the Lord. I'm going to have trust in God, confidence in God, faith in God. And I pray that that faith and trust and confidence will pull you through every time in your life in Jesus' name. Making faith a companion, a lifetime companion, indispensable companion of lifetime faith. We're looking at this subject under three perspectives. Number one, the courage. Number one, the courage. If you're going to go through life as a Christian, you need courage, courage. And that's the courage to follow after the Lord every day of your life, every moment of your life, every minute of your life. And that courage is available. He'll grant you that courage in Jesus' name. Number one, the consequence, anything you do, anything you say, there's always a consequence. If you decide to tell a lie, there's always a consequence. If you decide to tell the truth, there's always a consequence. If you decide to hold on to your conviction and you say, here I stand, I will not bend, I will not budge, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever men will do, whatever women will say, I'm going to stand on the word of God. There's a consequence to that. Chain number three is the confidence. The confidence. And I pray that God will give every one of us both courage and confidence in Jesus' name. Number one, the courage against the fierceness of man. The courage against the fierceness of man. Saul may be fierce against your life. A persecutor may be fierce against your life. God, but God has the final say. The one that anointed David with the oil and then said, you will be the king. He has a final say, and no man can defeat God or destroy the plan of God. That gives us courage when you know what God has said about you. When you know what God has appointed about you, when you know what God has ordained about you, that gives you courage, the courage against the fierceness of man. Number two, the consequence of the fear of man. You know, we have men and women around us. When we say fear of man, the man there is generic. And the man might be a woman, that is a mankind we're talking about. You know, in the case of Ahab, it wasn't he wasn't afraid of Elijah, he was afraid of Jezebel. That's a woman, and that's in fact the wife. It's like you know, and the Bible says the man sold himself to do evil because of his wife. Whatever the wife said, hey Ahab, yes madam, what should you now do this? And that's all. And the man, even though he came, could not stand. I pray that God will give you backbone. Somebody there say, God will give you backbone. And the person might be a man, might be a kind of Nebuchadnezzar that says, hey, come on here. Here is the idol. If you refuse to bow down to my idol, they want to make themselves the God of your life, the master, the ruler of your life. And I want to say, you must always make them the point of reference. If you refuse to bow to my idol, what's going to happen? Which God will deliver you when I decide to throw you into the furnace of fire? Maybe a Nebuchadnezzar, but to tell that man, you don't have the final say in my life. You tell the Almighty God, I've made my choice. You are my Savior, you are my King, and you are my Lord. And whatever men may say and whatever men may do, I will stand. Because, you know, the fear of man has consequence. Point number two, the consequence of the fear of man. Number three, the confidence of true faith in God. The confidence of true faith in God. If that light abides in you, the face of God, the face in the word of God abides in you, you will stand. I said you will stand. And it doesn't matter what may be happening. Temptations will come here and there. Trials will come here and there. The oppression of men may pursue you as if that's what they're going to do. They say they can destroy you, but nobody can destroy you. Because the Almighty God is your side. And whenever you are afraid, just call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord will see you through in Jesus' name. And we're coming to number one. What's number one there with you? The courage against the fierceness of man. The men around you, the women around you, may be fiercer than you thought. I didn't know they'll be this fierce. I didn't know they'll be this difficult. I didn't know they'll be this oppressive. I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't know that life would be so hard and tough like this. That's the time you need to quickly get back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God is telling you and see the confidence and the courage you ought to have. That's why when God called Joshua, he told him in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm reading here from verse 6. It says, be strong and of a good courage. He called Joshua. He said, the nations were going to meet, the seven nations in particular. And those seven nations, each of them will be mightier, greater, and greater warriors than the children of Israel. He said that one of them, just one of them, will be enough to lick up the whole of the land of Israel and sweep everything up, every one of them up. Joshua, you remember, you went to spy out the land. You saw giants in the land. Those giants are still there. But I want to remind you that you need to have courage. Be strong and be of a good courage. Fear not, for be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. Give me a good amen. Amen. Nor forsake thee. He will not fail you, and will not forsake you. If the Almighty God is always there, if the Almighty God is powerful and mighty, and he says, I'm going with you, I will not fail you, you shouldn't be afraid, and be not dismayed. In fact, the Lord said in verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I pray as the Lord is calling you to courage. And he's saying, stand firm, hold firm, and hold on to the word of the Lord. And stand by the conviction planted in your heart by the word of God. I pray that that courage will arise in your heart in Jesus' name. We're looking at Joshua chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Here is the Lord talking to Joshua. Moses has spoken to Joshua. And Moses had said, I will not be there, but God will be there. I'll be going to heaven, and you'll be going to the land of promise, the land of Canaan, and you'll be there all alone by yourself, except for those people that will support you. But the Almighty God will go with you. Therefore, be strong and of a good courage. You're going back to school, the church members will not be there, but be strong and of a good courage. You're going to your place of work. As you're going, you remember the face of that man, the bully, and the one that, you know, brings everything down, everybody down. He made that other, remember that other brother was there before you, made him to backslide. He made that other woman that was there in that office before you, also a member of the church, made her to, you know, cringe and crawl, and, you know, it's fully and forgotten. And that fellow, maybe he's not even coming to church, and now you come there, and he says, that's one of them again. I dealt you number one. I dealt you number two. You will be number three. No, you are not number three. You will not be conquered. He will not conquer you. He will not subdue you. You will subdue them in Jesus' name. Before you go to the office, you wake up that morning and say, no, I'm going to face that man. He has bragged. He made a number one to fall. He made number two to backslide. And he's counting me as number three. I will be different. I said, I will be different. Because God said in chapter 1 verse 6 of Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. That bears repetition. I need to repeat that yourself every time, because if you're going to go through this difficult world and this fierce world, you need that strength in your mind and you need that courage. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, for that thou mayest observe to do according to all the Lord which Moses my servant commanded thee. When you get to your office, according to the words which you have heard, that's how you live. The people in your office will not change the doctrine, the words that you have heard, and the salvation you have got, and the light that guides you and leads you. You see, I'm still going to live by the word commanded by the Lord. And says, turn not to the right hand, not or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? The Lord is saying that again. Be strong and of a good courage. That's the third time in a few verses that he wants you to be strong in the grace of God, and strong in the love of God, and strong in your understanding of the power of the Lord. And he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid. Fear is deadly, and fear makes you to cringe, and fear makes you to compromise. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He'll be with you in Jesus' name. In second Chronicles chapter 32. Second Chronicles chapter 32. I'm reading here from verse 7. Second Chronicles chapter 32, and we're reading from verse 7. Here is what the word of the Lord is telling us concerning, I want you to comport yourself in your neighborhood, your school, your college, your university, your place of work, in the marketplace, and anywhere you find yourself. It's telling us in Second Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 7, be strong and courageous. Looks like the word of God knows that we need this courage very much. You wake up in the morning and the things that surround you. As you go in your car, or maybe you are driving a taxi or whatever, the courage you need to be able to stand so that the world will not swallow you up, and the world will not put their impression on you, so that the world will not make you to be according to their mold. You just need that, you know, you need to stand every time. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, they're always there. And he says, no, for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Did you hear that? There be more with us. God is with us. And one with God is in the majority. Christ is with us. And he is the one that will stop every storm in your life. And the Holy Ghost is with us. The angels of God are with us. There will be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh. That's all they have. With him is the arm of flesh. With him, weak flesh, rotting flesh. With him is the arm of flesh. With us is the Lord our God to help us. He'll help us. He'll help you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 3, and I'm reading from verses 6 to 8. Psalm 3, we're looking at verse 6. In Psalm 3, verse 6, it says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. I will not be afraid. This is Psalm of David. I will not be afraid. I think he forgot that at the time when he fled from Saul. I will not be afraid. The greatest number of people that Saul ever gathered to chase after David, they were about 3,000. But here, David himself said, I will not be afraid. Even though 10,000 people, they rise up against me, that search themselves against me round about. It says in verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. My blessing is upon thy people. And so you need to tell yourself, and that's, you make up your mind. You say, I will not be. The fear may try to come in, and the fear may knock at your door. And that fear may make you to want to, you know, modify the truth a little and cut some edges of the truth. And deny the thing to, you know, to be factual. Because if they discover this, that this is what happened, how will I face them? How wouldn't you face them? If the Lord was you, what if I was wrong? What if I did wrong? If you did wrong, go and pray. And then ask forgiveness from the Lord. And have your relationship with God mended. And make sure you are right with God. And then even after that, if even if they have to ask you, how about this? How about, tell them the truth. You know, you have peace with God. And even if you were wrong, let them know you were wrong. But now you've settled it with the Lord. But what if, how will I save my face? You don't need to save your face if your soul is saved. How will I protect my face and my job? You need to protect anything if your soul is protected. Because what's important at the end of the day is your soul. It's your relationship with God. It's who you are with God. And so what makes other people afraid if they discover that? And they may fire me if they discover that. They might stop me if they discover that. I'll be nothing in their sight. If you're somebody in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what you look like in their sight. Let the Lord be your focus every time. And fear will get out of your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, I'm looking at verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Make that personal. Look at the people in your life. Look at the people that confront you every day. Look at the people who are close to you and the people who sometimes want to see you. Looking at their faces and their frown. Why do you dodge their frown? Why do you kind of run away from their frown? Stay there. And let's see what the outcome of that frown will be. anger. You know, look at the people around you, and when they get angry, don't run away, don't dodge, stay there and stand there and look at anger face to face, eyeball to eyeball. If the Lord is on your side, that anger, when you look at that anger face to face, that anger will evaporate away. But you know, anger becomes strong. It becomes stronger. The anger of men, the fierceness of men, and the persecution of men become very, very strong when you're running away from that. But when you stand your ground, when you say, whatever will happen, I know this is the truth. Whatever will happen, I know the Lord is my Savior. Whatever will happen, I know the Lord has anointed me for something. And what he has anointed me for, I will carry it out. You will carry it out. And so, whatever will happen, Nebuchadnezzar, go ahead. Pharaoh, go ahead. Herod, go ahead. We shall win the day. Am I talking to conquerors there today? We shall win the day in Jesus' name. The Lord is my light. Personal. And the Lord is my salvation. Personal. Whom shall I fear? It says, the Lord is the strength of my life. And it says, of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2. When the wicked, I know they're wicked. When the wicked, I know they're fierce. When the wicked, I know they're terrible. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. He says, they stumbled and fell. They will stumble. They will fall. No man can decide how long you live on earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If it's not time for you to die yet, you will not die. If the Lord sends you to a particular place and there are serpents and scorpions there, they are not for you. Those serpents and scorpions, they are not for you. And the power of the enemy, they are not for you, because you are shielded by the blood of the Lamb. And you are protected by the power of the Lord. People forget their protection. And they forget that God has raised them up to be somebody or to do things. And they will run away from their post of duty. And they will run away from the job God had given them. They will run away from the family that God has raised up for them. The God who gave you that family, and the God who gave you that job, and the God who gave you that position, he'll protect that position. And you will not throw your own life away and throw your prospects away just because of an enemy. Nobody will run you out of God's appointment for you. Nobody will run you out of your marriage, run you out of your family, and run you out of all the things, the resources you have, all your capital. You put everything together and you have a business, and then the business is moving on, and then you employ people there, and some of the people you employ there, they decide they are going to run you away from that business, and you add the capital so that they will seize everything. God forbid, it will not happen. The people that came in, they didn't have any capital, any kind of investment there. You employ them there. Now they want to take over and run you out. No, keep on standing. That's your inheritance. I say, keep on standing. That's your opportunity. Keep on standing. You might find that next week they are nowhere to be found. They will run away for you. You will not run away from them. Look at verse 3 here. Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this, tell me, will I be confident. You'll be confident in Jesus' name. When God has called you for a purpose, has called you for a job to be done, maybe in the church, and you know the vision you have, you know the goal you have, and you know the passion in your heart, or maybe it's in your family, and the Lord has brought you there. Maybe it's in a place of work, and God, you know, provided that for you. And then there's somebody now that wants to, you know, persecute you. And it's a fierce man, a fierce woman. And he says, you will not stay there. I will stay here. Somebody there said, I will stay there. Somebody there were here. I said, I will stay there. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The courage we have against the fierceness of men, whatever men or women, those may be. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 11. And I said, shall such a man as I flee, David, shall such a man as you flee? The man Saul did not have the Spirit of God. The man Saul, how many times has he thrown javelin at you and he missed you? And Saul will always miss David. I said Saul will always miss David. My enemies will always miss me. I said my detractors will always miss me. I said the fierce men will always miss me. I know there's javelin in their hand, but the javelin is not for me. Is it for you? No, Christ is for you. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. No javelin will stop your life. I know javelin will destroy your life. And so here, David, why are you running away from this man? You defeated Goliath. Goliath is more fierce than Saul. And so if you could defeat a Goliath, it takes only one stone. You add five, you still have four stones left in your bag. David, stay where you are, and nobody will destroy your life in Jesus' name. In verse 11 of Nehemiah chapter 6, and I said, shall such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. You will not go and hide. You're not going to hide in Jesus' name. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Here is the problem. Here is the problem. Proverbs chapter 29. I'm reading from verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of giants hindered thousands of people in the wilderness from entering the land of Canaan. And how many thousands and millions of people the fear of man has hindered from getting to heaven? And heaven is a glorious place, a wonderful place. And the alternative is hell. And hell is forever. How many people have deliberately chosen the way of destruction? They know the way of salvation. They know the way of life eternal. They know the way, the highway of holiness. And they wanted to take the way of salvation and the highway of holiness. But they fear some personalities in their families. The fears of personalities in their communities. The fears of personalities in their schools. I know this is the way. I know that's the right thing to do for me to get to heaven. But if I do that, so and so may oppress me. Let him oppress you. Let him persecute you. The pain of that persecution is much, much less than the pain and the suffering in hellfire. The pain of that persecution is so brief, is so short, that the many years eternal period in the lake of fire. What if they persecute you? What if they talk against you? What if they stand against you? What if they try to molest your life? Let them go ahead, because the Lord will not allow them to go beyond a particular limit. When it comes to a particular limit, the Lord will say, that's enough. And when God says it's enough, it's enough. Let God be your defender. Let God be your defense. And if God is your defense, the fear of man will not bother you. It says the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. And you remember, even Saul himself, come back to 1 Samuel. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. What made him to lose out? What made him to lose the kingdom? What made him to backslide? What made him to be rejected? It's the fear of man. It's the fear of people. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 24. If the best decision you can take today and the best decision you can take in life is to say, I will not be afraid of the face of any man and of any woman. Come what may, let their skies fall. Let the big oaks fall and let their storms rise. Whatever they will do, you make up your mind. Whatever conviction you have and whatever understanding you have, your light will not go off. Because the Lord can come at any time. And if the Lord appears and the light in your soul is gone, the confidence in your soul is gone, the faith in your soul is gone, the power that holds you up is gone, and then you become like a jellyfish, a compromiser, and you cannot stand, and your feet wobbling, and Christ comes and he says, where are you spiritually? What do you have spiritually? The fear of a man was greater than the love you had for the Christ of Calvary. What a pity it will be. It will not happen to you that way. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I'm reading from verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Because, look at this. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. I'm asking you a question. Who is that in your life that you're so much afraid of? And the convictions you had before you met that man, you cannot stand by that conviction. Who is that in your life? Who is that woman? Before you met that woman, you had conviction, backbone, and you had confidence in God. Now after meeting that woman, what has that woman done to you? What has she given you? What have you swallowed? What's your problem? That now the convictions you had before you met that woman, you cannot stand again. Saul, you didn't know all these people when the Lord called you and he selected you out and he said, you will be the captain over my people. And now he sent you. He didn't send them. He sent you. He said, go fight the Amalekites. And now you said, yes, I have sinned because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Get your neck off everybody's yoke. I said, get your neck off everybody's yoke. Whatever they want to take away from you, let them take away. The Lord will give you more. You see, the people that put themselves under a yoke. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Get up that other yoke. It's because you're under the yoke of a man, under the yoke of a woman. That's why they can threaten you. Because if you don't do this, we will not do this. All right, hold whatever you want to hold. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then tell me the rest, and all these things will be added unto you. And so if you understand that God is your savior, and God is your provider, and God is your protector, and God is your companion, and God is the one that says, I'll stay with you, I'll stand by you. And whatever man may forsake you, and whatever woman may forsake you, you'll see the majority, because the Lord is with you. And so here, Saul himself, he went astray because he said, I fear the man. Look, I fear the people. Look at verse 26. It says in verse 26, and Samuel said unto him, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. David, did you know this, that this man was a God rejecter? David, did you know this, that God rejected this man? How would you bend or bow, or crawl or cringe, or compromise with a man that doesn't have God? A man, a backslider. Whatever he would do, and wherever he's coming from, God has rejected him. He's not going to heaven. He's a candidate for hellfire, and you are a candidate for heaven. There's no way you will bend to that man and be a slave of a man rejected by the Lord. I think David forgot quite a lot of things at this time. And when we forget like that, that's what happens to us. When you forget the word of God, the promises of God, the prophecy that has gone on in the word of God concerning you, when you forget that, then you begin to fear people that do not have the Spirit of God. They do not have the doctrine of the word of God. They do not have the understanding of what it takes to get to heaven. And then we become afraid of them. The foundation of our life should be based on the word of God. And the foundation of our life should be based on the conviction of the word of God, that this is what God has said, and that is where I stand. And in that case, you will not have to tell a lie to cover up any sin at all. Because the Lord will be with you all the days of your life. I said the Lord will be with you all the days of your life. You know, telling lies is, in fact, you know, if you tell somebody a lie, you make that person higher than you are. You think he has power to punish you. He has power to oppress you. He has power to take something away from you. It means that you are a slave of that person. You are afraid of that person. In fact, you even exalt that person above God. It's like, God cannot protect me. God cannot preserve me. God cannot defend me. And this man is higher than God. And this man is higher than myself. You make yourself cheap. And you make yourself a slave. Or it may be it's the money you are getting in that office. And once I lose this, my God is forgetful. He cannot provide for me. You make your God cheap. You make yourself cheap. But when you come back and say, why did I have to tell that lie? Why did I have to go that way? Why did I have to modify the truth? From now on, I'm going to speak the truth, whatever comes and whatever goes. I said you are going to speak the truth. Whatever comes, that's all right. Whatever goes, that's all right. People may look down on you and say, what? That happened? Yes, that's what happened. And then if they look down on you, the Lord will exalt you. And you know, when you think about David was nowhere. You know, Saul was nowhere near David. As you think about David now in glory, you think about David now in heaven, and you think about Saul, wherever he is, there's no comparison at all. If God has promoted you, if God has lifted you up, stay high and stay where you are, and you don't have to come down and bend by the feet of Saul or any fierce persecutor. You will stand in Jesus' name. Psalm 51, I'm reading from verse 12. Psalm 51, I'm reading here from verse 12. It says in verse 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. And who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? Who are you? And what are you thinking about? That you should be afraid of a man that should die, or of the Son of Man, which should be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker. You know, when you cringe, when you compromise, when you color the truth, and when you tell a lie, it's because you have forgotten God. It says, forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And here, and it says, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And what is the fury of the oppressor? Where is the fury of the oppressor? The foundation of our confidence in God, the foundation of a courageous life, is number one, salvation. Real salvation and real transformation, real conversion. You know, the sinner is a coward. The sinner is guilty. The sinner has a defiled conscience. And because of the defiled conscience of the sinner, he doesn't have any courage. But when you are converted, when you are born again, when you are transformed, when the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you and your sins are forgiven, and the Spirit of God is telling you that you are a child of God, he bears witness in your heart. Your sins are gone and your name is written in the book of life. That's the beginning of courage in your life. And then sanctification. Sanctification, when the Adamic nature is dealt with in your heart, and it gives you a new heart, and it gives you the very mind of Christ, and it gives you the nature of God. The nature of God is not a cowardly nature. The nature of God is not a timid nature. The nature of God is not a frightened nature. It's not a fearful nature. The nature of God is a courageous nature, because he is the God and is the maker of all things. You have salvation, then you have sanctification, then you have steadfastness. Steadfastness, steadfastness of conviction. You know that I know this is the only way that leads to heaven. Think about that. You know, the Lord said, Peter and John and the rest, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And it says, whoever sins to forgive, they're forgiven. And whosoever sins to retain, they're retained. Think of the authority, and think of the power, and think of the privilege that all those apostles had, the key that opens the door that Herod did not have, that all the people of the world did not have. The peculiar situation the Lord has given you, that gives you the key that opens the door of the kingdom to millions and millions of people. When you see that special position and you have that steadfastness in that conviction, that gives you courage. Number one, the salvation. Number two, the sanctification. Number three, the steadfastness, because the guilt of the sinner is gone and the weakness of the human nature is subdued. Actually, righteousness makes you bold. In fact, it tells us in Proverbs, look at Proverbs again. We're looking at Proverbs, and here we're looking at chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, and I'm reading from verse 1. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But, tell me out loud, the righteous, what happens to them? As bold as a lion. The righteous, saved, sanctified, steadfast, no guilt, no condemnation, cleansed, purged, purified in the blood of the Lamb, having record and connection with heaven. It says the righteous is as bold as a lion. The lion is the king of the forest and is afraid of no other animal. Think of a rat threatening a lion, and think of a mouse threatening a lion. And all these people in the world who are sinful, who are not saved, who are guilty, who are they're shaking and trembling. Like Felix, when Paul spoke about the kingdom and judgment, they're not like rats. And think of such people threatening the lion. The righteous is as bold as a lion. I pray that the boldness of the Spirit, the Lord will grant unto you in Jesus' name. Number two is the consequence of the fear of man. The consequence of the fear of man. And let's come to 1 Samuel. And I'm reading from chapter 21. 1 Samuel, chapter 21. And I'm reading from verse 9. In 1 Samuel, chapter 21, reading here from verse 9. Here it tells us what David did, or maybe what happened to David. 1 Samuel chapter 21, reading from verse 9. And David said unto Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me. Because, what did he say? Because, I said, what did he say? The king's business required haste. Any king's business? No, that's a lie, David. Requires haste. When there was not even a business, which haste and which hurry? And then, and the priest said, if the priest had at the gate of the word of knowledge, this would not have passed over him. You see, at that time, there were people that didn't stand in all their privileges. You couldn't tell Elijah this. Elijah will spot you out. You couldn't tell Elisha this. Because Elisha knew the secrets even of the kings of Assyria. Even the people that were not in the land, Elisha will know. But you know, when we're just in religion, we're priests. No gift of the spirit. No word of wisdom. No discerning of spirits. We ask a question. How is it to alone? Oh, because the king sent me a kind of a errand. Oh, is that so? But you know, if you have the gift of the spirit, you'll tell the man, that's not right. That's not true. And now I didn't bring my sword because the king's business requires haste. That's why the Lord is telling us, get saved. Not only that, get sanctified. And be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because this one will come and tell you a lie. This one will come and tell you a lie. Especially if you're in leadership. If you're in leadership and they tell you this and they tell you this and they send this text and they send this phone and all that. And you cannot discern. You're going to take wrong decisions. And the wrong decisions may launch your family as well as the people of God in real trouble. And then he said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. And then it says, if thou wilt take that, take it. You know, sometimes you give people things. If you have a person that you'll never pray, they ask for a sword, they just look for the sword available, you give them. Should you give them that? Have you prayed? You see, it anybody that comes to ask for money and ask for this and ask for this, and they tell you stories, and then those stories appear believable, but you don't have the spirit of God to discern. This is not right. And then you are just giving and giving. Ahimelech should not have given this. He should have probed more and asked more questions. But he said, all I have is the sword of a Goliath. And then David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And then it says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And then he goes on to say, and the servants of Achish said unto him, before we even read that, can you imagine Goliath came from where? Goliath came from where? Gath. And then that man was the tallest man and the heftiest man in the land of Gath. Not only that, his spear was special. And his sword was special. It wasn't a small sword. It was a sword peculiarly made for Goliath. Can you think of somebody carrying the sword of Goliath and going to the city of Goliath, and that person was responsible for the death of Goliath? David, where are you going? You're going to a place they will spot you out immediately. The sword you carry, they know that sword, it belongs to Goliath, and Goliath is from Gath, and you are running to the king of a Gath, who is Achish. And that's why eventually when he got, it was a foolish step, it was an unwise step. You see, when we don't pray, those are the steps we take. We don't think of where to go, and we do not know where we're going because we have not prayed. And there's fear in our heart. Fear will make you run helter-skelter. Fear will make you run into danger. If you are afraid, stay where you are. Don't run, because you run in the wrong direction. If you are afraid, don't leave the place where God has given you. When you are confused, don't take a decision. When you're fearful, don't take a decision. And when it appears you are being harassed and you're oppressed, or say, I just must go somewhere now. I must go somewhere now. You might go into the jaws of death. Don't go anywhere. Stay where you are. David was not wise at this time in taking the sword of Goliath and then going to God. And then in verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David? the king of the land. They didn't even reckon with Saul. You see, people even exalted him more than he understood himself. They said, is this not David? They didn't say the servant of the king. They said, the king of the land. Here, a king is coming to us. Now, David, you're going to rule. And you know that. You know the anointing of the Lord is upon you. If you go to this place you are going now, they recognize you. When eventually the problems are over, it will be on record that the king of the land came over here and see what he did. See what he did. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you're afraid, lock yourself up and get on your knees and pray that fear out until confidence comes back to you. I will not go anywhere. I will stay here. And when I get on my knees, all those fears will evaporate in Jesus' name. And then they said, they even remembered the song. They said, and then the people sang one to another, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up those words in his heart. David laid up those words in his heart. David forgot the words of the Psalms to lay in the heart. David forgot the word of Samuel to lay in the heart. David forgot the words of Jonathan to lay in his heart. And David laid the words of the enemies on his heart. You know why you're afraid? Because you think of the words of the persecutors. You think of the threats of the persecutors. You can hear the tone, and you can hear the voice, and you can hear what they're saying. And because you are meditating on that, hey, David, you are the psalmist. Remind me, the Lord is my shepherd. And then because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David, remind me of the word of God. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will tell me, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me. David, remind me, thou preparest a table before me, and they anointed my head. Tell me what follows, David. Any David there? My cup runneth over. And tell me surely. Everybody tell me surely. Goodness and mercy. I said goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? David forgot the words of God. You know why we're afraid? We forget all these messages we've been hearing. That retreat, they said it was a great retreat. It ministered to me, and the words were wonderful, but you have forgotten. And then that leader's meeting and the word of God, disappointment turned to his appointment. It was wonderful, but you have forgotten. Great lessons from the forgotten teachers, neglected teachers of the ants, the anticipation of the ant, and the networking of the ant, and the tenacity of that ant, and the strategy. But you are forgotten. We forget the word of God, and that's what brings fear in our hearts. David forgot that, and he laid the words of those people in the heart. Look at verse 13. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself what? Mad. King of Israel and the king of the land, and the one that his name will come over and over until the last chapter of the whole Bible. He feigned himself mad. Why would you do that? Don't you know who you are? The anointing of God upon you, the power of God upon the selection and the choice of God in your life. I will not do that. I said I will not do that. And eventually you know the consequence. You know the consequence? The following chapter, Saul heard that David had been to Ahimelech. And he went to Ahimelech and he said, tell me, my enemy was here. And I heard you gave him bread, you gave him a sword. Well, Ahimelech said, is he not your most faithful servant, my faithful servant? That's my enemy. Are you not in the land? Don't you read the news? Don't you know I'm looking for that man to kill him? And you made him escape, you're going to die. There were 85 of those priests. Saul, through Doeg, killed them. The consequence of the lie. And then the whole of that city, the men and the women and the children, they were all killed. Those of them that were not ready for heaven went to the other place. Because of that lie. Because of the consequence on the lives of other people, will you stop telling lies? Because of the danger upon your life, as a liar, will you stop telling lies? Because of eternity, and because of a burning lake of fire, will you stop telling lies? And because the Lord is by your side, and nobody can do anything, everybody is controlled by God. Even Pharaoh was controlled by God. All their actions will be controlled by God, because God will say, here is the end of your action. Go no further. There's nothing they can do. If anybody does anything, God allows it, and God is going to protect and preserve your life in Jesus' name. Because of the consequence of the action that you take, that's what you need to think about. What will happen? The pain or the shame of foolishness. Look at what we are reading today about David, that he told a lie. A respected man. Somebody will always read the Psalms and were encouraged. And look at the man, the way he made himself cheap, the painful shame of foolishness. And then the perpetual soul of falling. The perpetual soul of falling. That, you know, something happened. You want to tell me all the words you have been hearing all these many years, 5 years, 10, 20 years, cannot make you stand before a person that doesn't have the power or the Spirit of God? You can't stand. Of course you can stand. Because of that perpetual sorrow of falling and making other people to fall and fail. That's why you shouldn't tell lies. And because of the persistent guilt of causing others death. Causing others death. What a great consequence. And the permanent suffering in hell fire. And let's look at Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21, here I'm reading from verse 27. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise, for any reason, in no case, enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination, or maketh a lie, or maketh a lie, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Whatsoever, whoever, telling lies for whatever reason, except you repent, and the Lord cleanses you, and the Lord changes everything, and the favor of God comes upon you again, except that happens, hellfire will be the destination of such a man. We're looking at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and tell me, say everything. Say it out as if you are not afraid. And whosoever, look up here. There are many people that nowadays do eye service and partiality, and it's now affecting their salvation and relationship with God. If somebody is unknown, what I mean unknown, is a member of the church, But it doesn't have position, doesn't have power, doesn't have authority, doesn't have any visibility, doesn't have any authority. If the person comes to you and he says, say this, do this, and you know it's a lie, the fellow doesn't have any position, get out of my sight. How can I tell a lie for you? I cannot tell a lie. But if somebody that deceives himself, that he has position, has authority, has power, has recognition, come on here. If they call you for this or that, say it this way, say it this way. And he says, I'm telling you, this is what to say. The people that will mortgage their souls, throw away their souls, and forget that God is no respecter of persons. And because they're so afraid of the man, of the woman, that appears to have some recognition in the church, they will go astray and tell a lie. But you know that passage we read? Look at it again. Look at it. It says, for without, outside, are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the whoremongers, and the murderers, and the idolaters. And the next one again. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. If you cherish and value and honor your salvation and your soul, you have conviction. She may not like me if I say no. He may not like me if I say no. He might even have authority. She might even have authority to kind of downgrade me and make me lose my position in the church. Good luck. No problem. I lose that. I keep my soul. You're not thinking of, you know, they'll put me here, they'll put me there, they'll recommend me. And because of recommendation on earth, you lose your soul. Rather stay unknown, unloved, undignified, unexalted here on earth and get to heaven than be exalted here, be promoted here, be recommended here. And then when you're done, you get to the gate of heaven. God says, no, you're a liar. You lie by yourself. You lie for other people. You lie to protect others. You lie to protect yourself. You are not a serious candidate of heaven. You're a liar. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What do we gain by telling a lie? Nothing. You lose everything. And the Lord will call us back to repentance in Jesus' name. Did I hear an amen there?
Amen.
We're coming to point number three, the confidence of true faith in God. The confidence of true faith in God. Why, brothers and sisters, should you have confidence in God? Why should I have confidence in God? And let me show you some things in the Bible. And our God has not changed. I said our God has not changed. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 4. And it came to pass when the king Jeroboam had the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him, tell me, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. That God is still alive.
Yeah.
This man of God went to deliver the message God had given him. And the king was there. And the king said, what? You see me here, worshipping idol? and you have the effrontery and the courage and the audacity to come and tell me that judgment will come, hey, take him. And his hand there could not bring it down. It dried up. If God doesn't want them to catch you, they will not catch you. God could protect David in his own way. In fact, God did. Let me show you. 1 Samuel chapter 23. It's not all the gimmicks that will protect you. It's not all the lies that will protect you. Look at this. Chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. Verse 25. In verse 25, Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, whereof he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when he heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the same mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them so near. But look at this. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David. Something will always happen to get Saul away from your path. Amen. I said something will always happen that will get Saul, the persecutor, Saul, the fierce man, Saul, the one who has lost the grace and the strength and the power of God from his life. Something will always happen that will get them away from your life in Jesus' name. You see how God protected David there? That's why we have confidence in God. Because God cannot fail and God will not fail. It will not fail in your life in Jesus' name. Look at chapter 26. For Samuel chapter 26. I'm reading here from verse 2. Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. You see here is another situation now, that Saul with 3,000 went after David. But God will always protect his soul. I said God will always protect his soul. He'll protect you in Jesus' name. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then we are told in verse 12. Look at verse 12. And David took the spear and a cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake. For they were all, tell me, how many of them?
All.
How many?
All.
I know it's all, but how many the number? 3,000. 3,000. God gave them sleep. Give them injection from heaven. And they slept. And David came to where they were, and nobody of the 3,000 woke up. God can protect you in any way. He has 1,001 methods by which he can protect you without telling a lie. If you will be faithful to God and faithful to the word of God and faithful to your conviction, The Lord will protect you every time in Jesus' name. It tells us, say, the world of sleep, because a deep sleep from who? From the Lord was falling upon them. God has ways, he protects his own, and he will protect you. I'm looking at 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Here we find an army against the people of God. Again, look at the method of God, that we don't have to take laws into our hands and become lawless, and become liars, and become evildoers, because we're looking for something, we want to achieve a goal. Look at this in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 5. It says, and they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Why? Verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. There was no host, there was no army, there was no threat, there was nothing. But God made them to hear the noise of chariots. And because of that, they fled. And then it tells us here, they left their horses, and they left their asses, even the camp, as it were, and fled for their life. The Lord can still do that. And the Lord can protect us, and he will protect us in Jesus' name. 2 Kings chapter 19. In 2 Kings chapter 19, here again we see the threat of a person that didn't fear God, and he threatened the people of God, and he said, hey, look at what I'm going to do, and nobody will deliver you out of my hand. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, I'm reading here from verse 7. It says, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land. In his own land. And look at verse 35. In verse 35, see what God did. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 100 fourscore and 5,000, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, they were all dead corpses. That's what God did, and he protected his own. So, and those who are running here and there, and I say, because of this and because of that, you don't need to run anywhere. The Lord will protect you. I said, the Lord will preserve you. And no evil shall come upon your life in Jesus' name. Stand for the truth. Stand for righteousness. And the Lord you are standing for, and the truth you are standing for, will protect and defend you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 112. Psalm 112. The confidence we have in God, the faith we have in God. Psalm 112, verse 6, surely it shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Am I talking about you there? He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Let's read that again. Verse 7, personal, I will not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The Lord will deliver you from all evil. He will sound you with his power. Underneath his wing, you will trust. And nothing will hurt your life in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy now, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading here from verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Read it after me. The Lord shall deliver me. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the whole church said,
amen.
You will get to heaven.
Amen.
The grace of God will keep you.
Amen.
And when you go to your place of work, when you go to your community, when you go to your homes, when you go anywhere, you are the champion over there.
Amen.
You are the one in charge.
Amen.
Nobody will push you to tell a lie.
Amen.
Nobody will make you cringe.
Amen.
Nobody will make you compromise.
Amen.
And while that sin is coming, and you know what they're likely to say, because you know, in the habit of saying that, and they see it, they have got you like they used to get you, but now a new strength has come in your heart, a new power in your soul, and the light of God is shining somewhere there in somebody's soul. What are you there? And so you say, when they are coming, you say, hey, he's coming. I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me bend here. It's going to tell me bend there. It's going to tell me bow. It's going to tell me if you don't bow, you will burn. I know what it's going to tell me. It's going to say, hey, I come. Kneel down there. Then you stand up and you say in your heart, the Lord will deliver me from all every evil. And the Lord will preserve who? I said the Lord will preserve who? He'll preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. And we say, amen. Thank God you are strong. Somebody there said, thank God you are strong. And you'll keep on standing until he comes. Your backbone will be strong. All the compromises of the past, you go to God and say, God, I am sorry. That was foolish of me. From now on, no compromise, no matter if I see Herod or see Pharaoh or see Nebuchadnezzar, I will stand. Who is that? Somebody there? Somebody there? I will stand. Stand up and tell the Lord. And let the courage coming from Christ, let that courage come into you, and make sure that you live as he wants you to live. No lying, no cringing, no compromise, and nothing that will make you bend to the enemy anymore. Stand, you will stand.